Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and co-parents of all ages, this podcast is for you. Introducing in the center ring, the amicable divorce expert, Judith Weigel.
Life happens for you, not to you. Life happens for you. Emphasis on the word for, not to you. This is such a great phrase because with this phrase, with this perspective on life, you'll never be a victim. And that's the whole point of this episode. I want to show you how divorce and anything that happens to you in life is there to create opportunity, to challenge you, and to get you out of thinking like a victim. And divorce can really get you thinking like a victim. So life happens for you, not to you. That's a quote by Tony Robbins. I heard that recently. He's a personal and business coach, a self-help author of many books, and a motivational speaker. So for any of you who have not heard of Tony Robbins, and as famous as people are, there are people who don't hear of famous people. Out of these many books that he wrote, the first two books being Unlimited Power back in the late 80s and Awaken the Giant Within, which was in the 90s, I read those books. Both were written to show people how they could overcome anything in their personal lives in order to have the most authentic and best life possible for them. And the best life possible is defined differently, except a lot of happiness and joy is the best life possible. Tony, let's go back to why I'm quoting Tony. So Tony was terribly abused as a child and a child of several divorces. He left home at age 17. He was encouraged by a high school teacher who recognized that Robbins had a gift for public speaking and for motivating people, even as he was suffering from a complete lack of motivation from his mother. All I knew about Tony in the 80s and 90s was that he had a weight problem, which defined him in a way that affected him socially. I also had a weight problem. And when you have a weight problem as a youth, you have it throughout your life. You always have to pay attention to it. So I connected with him like that. But those books were his way of moving his life forward, addressing his weaknesses, and turning them into successes. I was fascinated by his enthusiasm for life, his philosophical perspective on personal success, and his overall approach to life. He was mesmerizing. He was even on Oprah, of course, like all great people end up. Then he dropped off my radar, not to return until a couple weeks ago. It's 2021. I was watching a Netflix special last month about how Robbins conducts his Date with Destiny seminars. Okay, so his Date with Destiny seminars are his big gigs. He has been doing them for years, and of course, Oprah attended one and showed people how she could walk on fire, which is one of the mind over matter aspects, activities that he includes in these Date with Destiny seminars. But I understand that this Netflix special was the first documentary Tony let anyone film of these famous multi-day events. He conducts about 4 Date with Destiny events every year around the world. Thousands of people attend for thousands of dollars. Probably one of the reasons why I haven't attended, but I kind of attended during the Netflix special. I watched how he conducted himself as a coach extraordinaire. In his rough, raw, and passionate way, he curses a lot. He's really unusual in the way he talks to people. He's very hard on people, but it's with love. And the results are actually amazing. I mean, seriously, watch this Netflix special. It's quite life-changing. So in his rough, raw, and passionate way, he got down to the underlying reasons about why, on the surface, attendees said they were participating. The issues they wanted him to address actually morphed into what the actual issues were and that were being masked by the surface issues that they were defining as their walls, their stumbling blocks, their reasons for attending. Okay, so there was this one girl. She was the most amazing to me. There's this one young girl, she came with her mom, and she got up to say, well, I came here because I have eating issues. Okay, well, that could be, but Tony kind of didn't feel it and believe it. And those eating issues were masking a really tough relationship she was having with her dad. That's the reason. So these surface issues, and we all have surface issues. Let's just stick with overeating. Me, I'm a pastry junkie. If pastry was as illegal as heroin, I would be locked up for life. I'm a pastry junkie. But that's only covering up other things that I emotionally am not dealing with, and we all have them. As successful as we all are, we all have them, always to improve our lives. So as I'm watching this Netflix special, that got me thinking about divorce. Divorce can either cripple you or be an agent for positive change. The last sentence in my confirmation emails when scheduling clients for filing for divorce or for mediation, I write, divorce is a new beginning. It is both the end of one journey and the beginning of another one. Like every life change, it's how we use divorce to develop, grow, succeed, and establish our level of happiness and joy. Yes, your physical and financial worlds will change. You will no longer live in one house with your spouse and children. You may no longer live in the house that has been your refuge for many years. You may have to sell it. You may have less money to live on. In fact, you probably will have less money to live on, at least for a while, because running two households on the same income provides less income for both spouses. For a while. This is only temporary stuff. This is resetting your lives in a way that establishes a different foundation from which to jumpstart your new life path. Divorce is a new beginning. Divorce happens for you, not to you. If divorce happens for you, then what do we do with divorce? How can we take this fearful, sad, or joyous event? Some people can't wait to get out of their marriages. So, yeah, sometimes divorce is joyous. But what do we do when it's fearful, sad? We make it a positive, life-defining thing that propels us to our best lives ever. We must turn this around to be positive. So, how can divorce be a new beginning? How can divorce be for us and not make us a victim? Let me just pause a second here, because those of you who are either about to tell a spouse that you want to file for divorce or are about to have that hard conversation and the other spouse says, I'll take you for everything and I'm going to see a lawyer, and gets really, really fearfully aggressive, you have to let it go. You simply have to let it go. And you have to understand, though, that the fear that's going on in your spouse, soon to be ex, is huge. And you have to let that person grow into that fear. You have to let that person process fear in their own way. No one's going to take you for everything. I don't care what state you live in. Unless you voluntarily give up everything just to get divorced, then you're not going to lose everything. And you're not going to completely lose custody of your children, even if you're told that, unless you really should lose custody, unless you have a drug or substance abuse problem. Well, that's an issue. But if you don't, and your spouse says that out of anger, you just have to realize they're experiencing an enormous level of fear. They haven't gotten to the place of letting divorce happen for you and letting it be a new beginning. You go on your journey, they will catch up. So let's go back to how can divorce be a new beginning and how can it be something that happens for you, not against you? Well, there's three things. First, you have to want this to be a good thing for you. You have to want to see divorce as an opportunity to grow, to redirect your life, to live as you may secretly have wanted to live, but couldn't because you were committed to this marriage. Well, what if you're too sad right now to get to this place of wanting to change? What if dealing with your emotions is all you can do right now? Then go through the emotions of sadness. Don't bury them, feel them, mourn the marriage. Review your reasons for marrying. Review your reasons for marrying this person. Be honest with yourself and see if there were red flags, warning signs that you didn't address before you got married or during the marriage. Look at everything you fear about the divorce and what you think will be your life after divorce. Address each fear and look at how to turn fear into an action plan for recovery and a future new life. So you may need therapy here. So if you really want to use divorce as an agent of positive change, but you're so mired in sadness, you got to deal with the sadness first. And yes, we talk to our family and friends, but see a therapist. Interview somebody that you really connect with so that you can go through the mourning process, the emotional roller coaster, or in circus terms, the emotional juggling match. But go through the emotions because you have to be in a positive space in order to use divorce as a new beginning and as a positive agent of change, just like any big life change. All right, second, you have to have the confidence and the courage to change. Courage and confidence are not easy to come by and may seem unattainable until you realize that they're just decision points with an action plan. Think about something you did as a kid or as a young adult that wasn't easy, but you did it. You stepped up. You executed whatever needed to be done to accomplish something that seemed insurmountable. And when you look back, whatever you did wasn't insurmountable, was it? Because you did it. What are the consequences of not changing? Marginal fulfillment and a less happy life and less financially rewarding life than what could be yours. That's the other side of this. If you want to be a victim, you will continue living a victim's life, and that's not any fun at all. Decide what you want to do. Look at what you have either always wanted to do but didn't do with your life. Or look at where you and the world are now and envision what it is you want to contribute to the world and want to contribute to your own life balance. Do what I call a visualization of the aesthetic way you want to live your life. Like when I was in college, I had prepared myself to go into music, either performance or teaching. And I remember in my sophomore or junior year in college, my dad said to me, after spending so much money and time helping me work on music, I was a performer. When I was in high school, I was a music teacher, but that wasn't really what my life calling was supposed to be. And I remember digging down aesthetically and saying, you know, Dad, I really don't know what that real job is that I want, but here's what I know. And this just came at me. I didn't think about this before he asked me that question. And I said, here's what I know. I know I want to work in as many places in the world as humanly possible and with as many cultures of people possible too. And I had no idea what that was until much later on. I saw an ad for the circus and it used every single major. I went on to have six majors. I know, crazy making. But I have a lot of skills and talents, as do you. We have more skills and talents than we think we have. And addressing them is what we have to do. So I saw an ad in the paper, and it was about the Clyde Beatty Cole Brothers Circus. They needed marketing directors. And every single major that I had, they asked for it, except for philosophy. They wanted every single major that I had had. Who knew? Who knew? But I dug down. I aesthetically connected with how I wanted to live my life, even though I didn't know what the actual job was. How do you want to express yourself? That's kind of the first question. How do you want to express yourself in life? What skills and talents would you like to use? What have you wanted to do? What do you want to do? Just take the first step and see how that goes. Then take the next step and so forth. Little bites at a time. Don't listen to the noise. Don't ask people opinions. Ask for help when you need it, professional help, of course, maybe like a life coach, a business coach, but don't let people's opinions get in your way, even the coach. Create your own world, the personal one that you get to shape and define. And number three, this is so very important, trust in the universe. Be prepared to go on a journey that might be a little different than the one you set out to take originally, but allow this natural evolution to be the right one for you. Trust in the universe. Trust that an outcome of an action you took may provide a different result than expected. That's okay. Look at how to go with the flow. See how this different result can be equally or more beneficial than expected. Quite often, the steps along the way of your journey will provide different outcomes, better outcomes than what you anticipated. Allow life to take its course for you. If you are aligned with your choices, life will move you forward. Okay, so just a few things. Me first. And I'm going to give you two other examples of people who got divorced that turned into fabulous careers. So I'm marketing this podcast, right? Yes, I'm a divorce mediator. Yes, I file for people as a document preparation company, paralegal on steroids, as I define myself. And in so, I called an early morning show in Los Angeles that I listen to on my way to work every day because these are brilliant human beings. It's the Stryker and Klein show. So funny, so intelligent. I just love this show more than anything. And I called them because I said, well, this would be a really good bit to have on the air, the amicable divorce expert. Half the people going to work are getting divorced because 50% of first divorces and 50% of first marriages end in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce, 70% of third marriages end in divorce. And by the way, I have repeat business in my office. Well, the interview didn't really happen, but that's okay. We're both on Instagram together. We communicate a little bit like that. And Allie, one of the four co-hosts on the show, was doing ADD News. And even though they didn't interview me, I still listened to the show. I didn't get mad. I said, you know what? Someday it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. Maybe I need more followers. Maybe I need to be interviewed on a television show first. I know it's going to happen. I'm perfect for their show. So the first time I attempted to interview, it didn't happen. So on ADD News, Allie's reading a piece about a researcher, a psychology scientist, did a study on a gene that we have, and I'm going to be doing a podcast episode with this researcher, that sets us up to have successful relationships. The way we are biologically, physiologically built sets us up to have better relationships, intimate relationships. And knowing that, I thought was really interesting. So I contacted Allie through Instagram. I said, hey, can you give me a link to that piece that you did on ADD News today? And she did. So now I'm in a relationship with them. And even, I think Ted Stryker liked one of my Instagram posts recently. So I'm like, okay, this is good. We're establishing a relationship. We're following each other. We're somehow going to get together at some point. I trust the universe. I trust my decision to call them. And by the way, it's not easy to call people and see if you can get on their shows. But I did it anyway. I overcame that fear, and look where it got me. Maybe not on the show yet, but in relationship with the show. And I'm going to provide a really super cool interview for all of you shortly on this whole thing about we are, through our chromosomes, set up to have better or worse relationships with each other. Okay, now two other people. So Tina Turner now has this documentary on HBO, and it's about her life. And it's about how she started with Ike Turner, with the Ike and Tina Turner Review, and how she was completely tortured by him. Tortured, and then she would go on stage and sing. And she eventually was the star of the show, 16 years into the marriage, or into the relationship, with four children. She leaves him. No money, gets divorced, he keeps everything, she kept her name. And upon that name, she built a fabulous career. And she built a fabulous career as a middle-aged woman. Now, you know, rock and roll and music is generally about really young people starting in their teens and early 20s. Record companies don't want you when you come in your 30s and, God forbid, your 40s. Like you can't perform or sing just because you're not 20. You can sing better and you perform better as you get older. Tina built her career on her name with $0 attached. And as a middle-aged woman, even as a 50-year-old woman, she was at the top of her game. And she married a man 20 years younger than her. Yes, Tina Turner. And then Cher. Does anybody remember Cher? I am totally dating myself, but we have to use people that have some history. So Sonny and Cher, that's how Cher started. Sonny and Cher, hugely successful records, hugely successful shows. But apparently Sonny was controlling. Cher was diminished, just like Tina was diminished, but Cher was the star. Cher divorces Sonny and goes on to have a fabulous career on her own, not only singing, television, but movies. Doesn't matter what age you are. You can turn your life around with intention and purpose and hard work. Never forget hard work. Somebody else I want to talk about for a second, Eckhart Tolle. So Eckhart Tolle is a philosopher, teaches, I think, at Cambridge in England. He's the author of Power of Now and A New Earth. And yes, he was interviewed on Oprah. I found out about Eckhart Tolle because when Oprah started doing these online shows separate from her television show, I believe Eckhart Tolle was her first guest. So Eckhart's philosophy is always live in the present moment for the most peaceful and happy life. If we live in the present moment, he says, our lives will be forward focused. We won't let the past bog us down, the regrets of the past, missing people who are no longer with us. I know that can really, really destroy us when people pass. I know, because I just lost my mother last year, and I think about her every day, and I really miss her. But the decisions we made, and the decisions we made in the past that may come back to haunt us, won't if we live in the present moment. So this is not meant to be callous. This is not meant to disregard the past. But the way we continue being sad is that we dwell on the past. So what do you do when you're going through divorce? You dwell on all the issues that took place. I didn't see it coming. How could he or she do this to me? I thought we had such a happy life. What about our kids? No, you have to move forward. You literally have to live in the present moment and move forward. When we live in the present moment, when we don't live in the present moment, we can't move forward. We can't. We're mired in the past. I don't believe Eckhart means, though, that we shouldn't learn from past mistakes. I believe he means we shouldn't berate ourselves for past mistakes and dwell on them to the point of being immobilized by them. Only the present moment is real. Use it to create your future. Let's put context to using some examples, divorce as an example, as a stepping stone to a fabulous future. And we have four examples. If living alone feels fearful, create a living space that is more suited to you. If you have no children, you are free to move anywhere to begin again and live with anybody you choose. If you do have children, perhaps moving isn't possible, but establishing your household the way you want it to be is your answer until you are free to move. Number two, another example. If co-parenting is your challenge because you're divorcing someone who is a high conflict person, you will need to learn communication skills that work in light of your ex's communication challenges. But since you are no longer married, living in the same house, your communication relationship can change. You're no longer beholden to a different spouse. You're no longer beholden to a difficult spouse because you don't have to keep peace on a daily basis for the household to be calm. True. The children may still experience some volatility when in the middle of their parents' communication, but the children can at least have one household that is calm, yours. You can't control anyone but yourself, and you can provide that for your children. So these are just two examples so far of how divorce can be used as a stepping stone to a fabulous future. Number three. If money is your challenge, earn a living or work within a budget that works for you. Be thankful to divorce for forcing you to look at money and career choice differently. Use divorce to change the way you spend money, save money, and earn money. Living within your means changes as you make more money, while living within your means with less money allows you to grow personal wealth. Wealth is subjective. What one person considers wealthy, another person sees differently. And this is really important. Your relationship to money is a direct relationship to your feelings of self-worth. I want to say that again because that is so important and because I identify with that. I have had to look at my level of self-worth and how I look at my value, my financial value in business, and when you're negotiating the settlement agreement. So I'm also going to be doing a future episode on a book called Negotiate Like You Matter. It's by a divorce attorney in Los Angeles named Rebecca Zung. And it's really a great book. I just got finished reading it, and so I'm going to bring it on the show in a few episodes. But there is a section in the book where Rebecca talks about knowing your self-worth in the divorce mediation and really working on your value as a human being when you sit down to negotiate. Some people feel deserving of wealth. Other people may never see that they deserve or can earn what they consider to be wealth. But money and our personal assessment of ourselves goes hand in hand. go hand in hand. Sorry about that. If we feel really good about ourselves, we feel deserving of better. Better positions, better salaries, better prices for our goods and services, and a better settlement agreement in divorce. A family member said to me one day years ago, "I see other people making lots of money in this industry. I should be too." And he did. He set his career on a trajectory in which he felt deserving of making more money, charged more for his services, but also gave the best product and service he could. Women, pay close attention to this concept of feeling worthy to be paid more or to charge more. Men, by and large, already get it. Not that men also don't have to work on this. And I know I'm speaking in generalities, but women are more in this end of value, personal value equals money. We have more work to do. It's not that women haven't been hugely successful financially. Of course they have. Well, we have Oprah. But there is still a way to catch up, still a ways to catch up. In order to catch up, we have to simply state our value higher. It's up to us to create the playing field we want to play on. And number four, career. Divorce can set us up on a whole different career trajectory. Once on your own post-divorce, you can do anything you want to do with your career. I understand that co-parenting may pose limits on where you live, but you're not a prisoner of the neighborhood in which you live. You can eventually move out, and your children won't be minors forever. Depending on how old your youngest is, you may have to do a hybrid career until graduation from high school. But after that, you're ready to move anywhere you want and to jump fully into the career you choose. So do advanced planning. Do a hybrid. And who knows, once your youngest is on his or her own, you may have other career choices that didn't exist until then. Trust the universe. If you make choices authentically, from your soul, from your heart, from your true desires, remember what I said I chose in college. I wanted to live in as many places humanly, work in as many places humanly possible in the world, and work with as many cultures of people humanly possible. If you can do this, if you can dig down and do that aesthetic thing, you're aligning yourself with the universe, and the universe won't let you down. Now, I just want to say something about money and spousal support. Yes. We have spousal support or alimony. Different states call it different things. We call it spousal support in California. So spousal support is there for the lower earning spouse or the spouse who hasn't been working because they've been raising children, and you need it. You need it to start with. If you're not getting a huge financial settlement, and because there are lots of assets to divide, you need it. So of course ask for it. But don't look at it as your salary, because you'll stay a victim like that. You know, so spousal support / alimony is really a double-edged sword. It's there to help you get on your feet. And yes, depending on how long you've been married, in a long-term marriage, in California certainly, and I'm sure in other states, it's there until you remarry for life or until one of you passes away. But I'm going to quote Ramona Singer on the New York City Housewives. Ramona Singer, cast member from day one, has always said, earn your own money. Earn your own money if you can, because you'll have independence that way. And the world has changed to the point where you can earn your own money. So yes, if you have a spouse that earns so much money that you don't have to, it's so great and luxurious to be able to be home for your children. And I really support that too, if you can do it. But then if you happen to have a divorce and you haven't been working for a while, of course there's spousal support and alimony to rely on. So use it, but start getting your own life together. Only that way your own career, your own ability to earn money? Will you have independence? Will you be able to structure your life the way you want to structure it? It's so extremely important that we all think this way. If COVID-19 and the pandemic has taught me anything, I've learned that time is precious, and I think you have too. Let's use time fully, consciously, and authentically to let life happen for us. Let life happen for us, let divorce happen for us. Divorce is a new beginning. Divorce happens for us, not to us. Thank you very much for joining me today. Please share this episode with anyone going through divorce or about to file for divorce. Subscribe to this podcast. Encourage your friends to subscribe to this podcast again if they're going through divorce. And contact me. Please feel free to contact me with questions, with suggestions for interviewees, or with episode topics that you would like me to explore for you. You can reach me at Judith@theamicabledivorceexpert.com, Judith@theamicabledivorceexpert.com. Take care, and as always, have an amicable day.
That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Be good to yourselves, be kind to your spouse, and cherish your children above all else.